On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Sinn Féin's Padraig McLoughlin raised the issue of long COVID and renewed calls for the state to recognise long COVID as an occupational illness in line with some other EU member states in the Dáil. It was found that the Department of Social Protection reviewed the EU recommendation and determined that COVID does not meet the criteria required for recognition in respect of certain social welfare legislation. But what is life really like for those who are still suffering from long COVID all these days later, or years later rather? I'm joined now by Jennifer, who has been dealing with long COVID since her first infection in 2020, and by Professor Jack Lambert, consultant in infectious diseases with a special interest in long COVID. You're both very welcome to the programme. Jennifer, to come to you first, can you just paint a picture of all of the health issues that you have faced since you first contracted COVID?
Hi, Ciara. Thanks for having me on. So, yeah, so I was kind of nearly the very start of the cohort of long COVID. And I suppose for the last 2 years, I haven't been even able to talk about it. I feel like it's more of a curse at times. I mean, I would have been the usual back in the day: breathlessness, tachycardia, brain fog, fatigue, migraines, had all of it. I would have had a kind of moderate COVID at the time, the first time I got it. But since then, it's just become very challenging. When I thought I was kind of starting to improve there about 2 years ago, I had a pulmonary embolism, and the symptoms of that actually was very like long COVID. It was like I was having a bad flare up. So I was ignoring what was going on. And when I finally went to the doctor and they were like, I think you're actually having a pulmonary embolism, I would say the doctor in the hospital said 24 hours and I would have been a goner, you know. But all along, when I had long COVID, I would have had, you know, microclotting, so my D-dimer would have been very high. You know, I definitely would put down the pulmonary embolism to long COVID and the underlying vulnerability that I had in my body. And then after the pulmonary embolism, and it was quite traumatic for my body, quite traumatic for my mental health as well, I actually started having panic attacks. Very severe panic attacks. And over the last 2 years, I had to stop counting. My psychiatrist said stop counting them, but I think I'm about 300 to 350 panic attacks, very severe panic attacks.
And what do they feel like, Jennifer?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I mean, everybody's very curious about what it feels like. So for me, it'll start with like a kind of a small pain in the chest, which would grow and grow. And then my whole rib cage is contracting. And if you've had a baby, it's very like the contractions that you would have in your womb, except you're having it in your chest. Then you would start hyperventilating. You wouldn't be able to hear. Like, I kind of lose my sight. It kind of gets very blurry. It's kind of like an out of body experience. And you're just holding your, if anyone can see it, you're holding your chest. You can't breathe. It's very traumatic for somebody when they see you going through it. Now, I've had a lot of public panic attacks. But my mental health probably is the most difficult to deal with than the physical side of long COVID, I have to say. It's definitely more complex. For someone who never suffered with anxiety in her life, for someone who never suffered with depression, the mental health part of the long COVID has been the most restrictive to me getting back to what my life was like before, for sure.
So what does now an average day for you look like, given the heart complications, the fatigue that you talk about, and that really, really severe anxiety that can bring on those panic attacks?
Yeah, well, I mean, right now I'm trying to get back into the workforce, and I think that's really important for my mental health. I definitely lost my identity because of COVID, and I feel like I need to try and get a grasp of getting back to some kind of normality. So that's my plan. And what my day looks like at the moment, it's at home, to be honest. Like, my anxiety is so bad that, like, anywhere I go, I'm like, where is the exit? If I have a panic attack, I can go there. You know, every place, you know, on a Monday morning, I go shopping. I already have my, you know, where will I go if I have a panic attack? You know, and that's the way I'm living my life at the moment. I have panic attack disorder and generalized anxiety disorder. And when you have that, you live in fear of the next panic attack. The pain, for example, that I get when I have panic attacks is like, it's a 9 out of 10. It's so severe. Like, I'd be driving and it would happen, and you mightn't be able to pull over. But life is like, my life is revolving around my my illness. And
you have two children who are 13 yeah. and 22, and you worked for a bank before all of this. You had, by all accounts, Jennifer, a very normal, busy, active family life before COVID hit and long COVID became such a big part of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, it's taken everything. It's taken everything from me. Right now, what I'm trying to do is take my life back. When I had the pulmonary embolism and I started having the panic attacks, my first panic attack actually was in hospital when I was being treated for the pulmonary embolism. The doctors didn't know at the time what was going on. And then 2 months later, when the clots were gone, thankfully they went fairly quickly, we then discovered that it was panic attacks that I was having, and I just felt like a kick in the stomach because I just knew that treating panic attacks, or, you know, it's just very complex. And I was right, because 2 years later, I still have them, you know.
Let me just bring in Professor Jack Lambert, because Jack, we would have spoken extensively during the COVID years in Ireland. And I know you had your long COVID clinic quite early in the right. pandemic. What are you seeing now amongst patients 4 or indeed 5 years on from the start of that pandemic?
Right. Well, first off, we established the clinic in 2020 because we had the first patients with COVID, and then a lot of our staff, 3 months after getting infection, never recovered. That's 2020. Fast forward to 2025, some of these staff are still sick. Some of them have never recovered. Some of them have improved. And then I'm seeing patients with long COVID who just get infected 6 months ago. So it hasn't gone away. So some people have long-standing long COVID. Some people have recent long COVID. And that it, you know, it's complex, you know, that everybody is a little bit different. There's over 200 different signs and symptoms of long COVID, and everybody has 10 to 15 different symptoms. So everybody's a little bit different. Some people have, you know, brain fog. Some people have pains all over. Some people have tachycardia. Some people have dysautonomia. The autonomic nervous system isn't working. You know, everybody's a little bit different. So it's quite complex. We know a lot about long COVID now, but we don't know much about how to treat it. And then, you know, you mentioned the whole issue of the healthcare workers. There's some healthcare workers that are, you know, that have been sick and have been told, you know, your benefits have been cut off. You know, it doesn't, you know, count as an occupational illness. Every country in Europe, I understand, except for Greece and Ireland, recognizes, you know, long COVID as an occupational illness, and being threatened with your, you know, your insurance, your finances being cut off on a daily basis creates anxiety as well. So it's a complex condition, multiple different symptoms. It's very difficult for GPs because they don't know how to deal with the issues because there's so many different symptoms, but it's not going away. People continue to get sick, and some of those who were infected early on continue to be unwell.
Is one of the difficulties with this subject, Jack, that when this happened, it turned life for normal people upside down, and it was a very, very difficult period of time for a lot of people. And that when they hear the word COVID now, they almost want to switch off. They want to turn away. They don't want to go back there because it's a negative place for them. Is there a stigma, I suppose, attached to discussing this even at all? Let's just double check. I think we might have lost Jack there. Let me see if I can get him back up on the line. Oh, Jack, can you hear me there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I don't know if you heard my question. I'm wondering if you think there's an issue around discussing COVID, or a stigma certainly still attached with COVID, because for so many people, that word COVID actually just triggers such a memory of a very negative period of time in Ireland.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But also, I think patients with long COVID don't look that sick. So even family members say, oh, you can't really be that sick, you know. And I have people that look well, but all it takes is walking around the block and they have to go home and go to sleep for the rest of the day because it just totally wipes them out. But people don't understand it. You know, it's not like cancer where you lose your hair. They look well, but they're not well. And then similarly, like I said, they have 10, 15 different symptoms, because that's the damage that long COVID does. It damages the brain, it damages the immune system, it causes inflammation, it causes reactivation of viruses in your body, it damages the the mitochondria, and then microclots. People are more prone to blood clots. It causes so many different symptoms that it's very difficult, I think, when patients go to the GP. They're often, you know, given a psychiatric diagnosis, but it's not psychiatric. There's triggering from the brain causing all these problems. So yes, I do agree that you know, we don't want to talk about COVID, but, you know, it's not going away, and long COVID is a real problem for those who have it.
Jennifer, can I put that question to you? That sense of being dismissed or not believed, not just medically, but socially as well. Do you feel that?
Absolutely. And that's the one reason why 2 years ago, you know, before I had the PE, I was just like, I just can't deal with it anymore. I was part of a group as well on Facebook, and I just had to just take myself away from it because it was just too painful and I needed to move on. And there definitely is a stigma. I mean, if you ever look back, you know, 2 or 3 years ago at anything that was put up on social media about long COVID, it was just like, oh, they just don't want to go back to work, you know, they're just lazy, you know, which is very difficult, you know. And for like myself, I had to end up leaving my career. Now I'm going back in to the workplace, and it's not something that I want them to see, you know. I've made sure that I have taken down, because I was a kind of an advocate at the time. I've pulled as much information as I can about me having long COVID off the internet, through my social media or my blogs, because of that stigma and the possibility that I wouldn't be able to get a job because they'd look and see, oh God, she's long COVID. Nope, don't want to risk taking her on. So there 100% is a stigma about long COVID, and no one wants to talk about it. I actually feel quite sorry for anyone newly getting long COVID, because I think back, you know, when the clinics were set up, I was part of St. Vincent's Clinic. You know, there were very busy clinics at the time. But if someone now has COVID, has long COVID, I just don't feel that there's a huge amount of, well, certainly the same amount of support that we would have had back then. I don't think they have that now.
All right. Look, we're going to have to leave it there. Professor Jack Lambert and Jennifer, thanks so much for joining us. And Jennifer, best of luck with your endeavours to get back into the workplace and to get your life back on track. I appreciate you speaking to us.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.